It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yo, Winning Shot family, what's going on? Thank y'all for tapping in to another episode of the Winning Shot podcast. Thank you for joining Hundo, Colin, and myself, Herbie J. I'm on another great episode that we have planned for y'all this evening. Hope that y'all have been doing well throughout this beginning of October. We are on the sixth day of this month. We are in the last quarter of 2025. The year is flying by. Can't even believe how fast it really has flown by and all the things that have happened throughout this year. But as always, we're going to start off with how the fellas are doing since our last episode. And we got a few things we want to catch y'all up on and have some discussion on today here at the Winning Shot Podcast. So, Colin, man, start it off. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, man. Colts have another victory. W's in the chat. So it's always good to see that.
There he goes. Well, he's on it early.
Great weekend of sports.
He's great on it early. Of sports.
Can't relate to losing.
Hey, can't relate.
Chapel Hill can.
You see how you want to move the goalpost? You see how you want to change the goalpost?
We talking about winning and losing.
Word. Word. Didn't Chapel Hill lose?
They did. They
get blown out, actually. Play.
Don't worry. We got some articles coming out about that. But two teams put up in our division, put up 40 points. Us and the Texans. So I'm going to leave it there.
Texans did put up 40. The Ravens did lose. That's very true. Hundo, I'll speak on the Ravens in a little while. You go ahead and talk, Hundo. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm with Colin, man. W's in the chat, man. Big dub for the Broncos.
Yeah,
man.
Broncos had a big win this weekend.
Finally on the right side of a game winner.
You know? Thanks.
That feels that's good. Thanks. Get that monkey off our back.
Yeah.
Outside of that, man, everything going good for me now.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it, fellas. Yeah, man, same for me. This football season has been a whirlwind for me. As y'all know, I am a Clemson Tiger fan. I'm also a huge Baltimore Ravens fan. And usually during this time of the year, I'm jubilant. I mean, my teams are doing absolutely phenomenal. But this season, I guess there comes a point in every fan's life where your team is just not that good. And unfortunately for me, that time is right now. And I feel for Panthers fans, Titans fans, Colts fans. I mean, all these teams that have been
in there. No.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you why. Because historically, I've been sorry. So for me, when last day I won the division.
Hey, hold on. Add a little more context. Without Peyton Manning.
Without Peyton Manning, the Colts have been
and we were winning 11 games with Andrew Luck. What you mean? Don't put us in the same category as the Titans. Right, stop.
Hold on. I think since when did y'all make Andrew Luck retire? That's the real question. Let's start there.
He retired in 2019.
And y'all didn't win a division since, did y'all?
I don't know. I don't think so. No, we haven't been to the playoffs.
The Jags it took over for a little bit. Then the Texans took over when CJ Stroud and them boys got there. I think I made the playoffs one year. I made the wild card one year.
We ain't win the division.
Yeah. But anyways, like I said.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's other sorry teams in this league that you could have named. You didn't have to put us in that boat. Like,
you're right. I apologize, but y'all have been sorry. Anyways, like I was saying, teams that have been sorry that or are religiously sorry, like the Browns, year after year after year, I have to give kudos to y'all fans because y'all are some of the strongest human beings in the world. It's no way in the world I could be sorry each and every year and still be a fan. What is there to cheer about? Oh my gosh. I mean, just, I'm not going to go in on it. It's okay. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the good thing is that this, we are in October. Clemson wise, them boys, I still ain't really too sure on. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I know we just beat up on Chapel Hill, but they ain't been good this year. So it's kind of like beating up on an old person. It's like you can do it. It happens. I mean, but you shouldn't feel good about it. Like that shouldn't be your, wow, you did good kind of thing. Like we beat a 78-year-old Bill Belichick. I'm not really happy about that one myself. Personally, you know, thanks for getting the job done. Even when I put it in my Instagram chat, I was like, finally, but it was also UNC. So, you know, if we do it more consistently, you know, we can make me happy again as a fan. But right now, I'm still not too happy. And then the Ravens are 1-4. Once again, also, I really was trying to find a paper bag yesterday because I've just been quite upset. Now, I mean, people, the Panthers fans, I got a lot of Panthers fans in my family. And then to my new family that I'm marrying into. And to y'all, I want to say this personally. Get out my phone. I'm tired of y'all texting me and saying that the Panthers are better than the Ravens. I tell y'all this all the times. The Panthers have been sorry. The majority of all y'all lives, all y'all that be texting me, the Panthers, y'all never seen the Panthers do nothing good, ever. They went to one Super Bowl a decade ago. And y'all are living in that past. And have been and telling me y'all been in a rebuild for a decade. I mean, the world's longest rebuild outside of Cleveland. I mean, so for y'all just to be in my phone, it really hurts me that we are even in contention with the Carolina Panthers. I hate it. I hate it. Changes have to be made. I've been saying this, and I'm not going to get too hyped up about this. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. I think changes have to be made. I don't know what those changes will have to be. I know people will say, well, fire John. At this point, I'm willing to try a little bit of anything, to be honest with you, because I need to see wins. I need to be a part of a winning franchise because it seems as when the Ravens lose, and I know why, it's because people expect us to win. So, you know, if we were Cleveland losing, nobody would care. But it's because it's Baltimore losing, and people are like, whoa, the world's flipping upside down. And so I understand. You know, when you built the pedigree of winning, people expect you to continue to win. Same thing with Clemson. The world flips upside down because Clemson has had a pedigree of winning for the past decade. So it's like, now that you're losing, it's like, whoa, the world's flipping upside down. And once again, if we are Arkansas State, nobody's better than I, you know. So, you know, it's just things that come with the territory. So we have to own those things. That's what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. So any mistakes that you make in your life, own them. That's what I'm telling you. Own those mistakes. Change your ways because something has to change to get you back in the right track. Don't let nothing stop you. My mama preaches yesterday. She said, keep the main thing. Don't let nothing stop you from your purpose, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And if your purpose is to be a winner, then don't let nothing stop you from doing that.
Hey, Colin, I'm glad you're recording too.
I'm glad we're recording too. Y'all know me. Y'all, I stand on everything I say. Okay. Everything I say, I stand on it. I promise I do. I'm preparing a message for this week that's very similar to that. You got to stand on what you're doing,
so
man.
So, John, if y'all, like, let's say y'all get blown out again by the Rams,
mm-hmm.
at what point in the season do y'all consider tanking, if y'all consider it?
Well, they're not going to do that because we got a bye week right after the Rams game.
And it gets which, easier.
Yes, the schedule gets a heck of a lot easier. Lamar will be back. Roquan be back. Marlon be back. Tal Hamilton was out yesterday. Ronnie Stanley was out yesterday. All of them will be back after the bye. Bare minimum. And then we come back and play the Bears. Now, if the Bears come to Baltimore and blow us out with all those people back, we start tanking. Start tanking. But I'm also, let me take that back. Hold on. My quarterback's Lamar Jackson. My quarterback's Lamar Jackson. We're not tanking.
Yeah.
If
Lamar's back, bro, y'all not losing to the Bears.
Yeah, we're not losing. With Lamar, we don't start a tank. Like, we haven't had a. Let me see. That was 2020. That was Lamar's injured that year, though. I was trying to think the last time we had like a low draft pick, but Lamar's injured. That was like 2021 whenever we drafted Cal Hamilton. That was like the year Lamar's injured. Lamar's healthy. We're going to make the playoffs. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I'm going to tell you why. Again, the rest of the division is sorry. I mean, the only team that's doing good in that division right now is Pittsburgh. They're the only team that's above 500 right now. The only one. And so we play them after going towards December. We got Cleveland again, and we got Cincinnati twice before I think we play Pittsburgh. So, I mean, those games are going to matter. You know, I'm not really too pressed about beforehand because Lamar be back. The offense is still there. I think what we see is that obviously a big catalyst, which we already knew this, was Lamar. The defense has been absolutely abysmal. So they got to figure that out. Now, speaking on the Ravens again, is that unfortunately the Ravens started off the same way last year. We were absolutely abysmal the first 7 to 8 weeks of the season defensively. And then in the second half of the season, starting about week 10-ish, 11-ish, they turned it around. So if we have that kind of resurgence again, now the only difference was we were winning prior to their defaults. But should history repeat itself, there is a shift coming in Baltimore. Whether that be personnel, whether that be player, whether that be something, there's a shift going to be coming and wins will begin to happen. That much I can declare and decree. Because that I can tell you because that's what I've seen. But as for now, we got to live in what we are, and we're 1-4. We're one of the worst teams in the division and in the conference. So, yeah, I can honestly speak there and say that. But the songwriter tells me it won't always be like this. Good guy from Zion. All right. I'm gonna leave that alone, fellas. Let's continue while we're speaking with NFL teams and NFL Week 5. Let's go ahead and keep that frame of mindset going. Let's talk about some games that happened this past weekend, shall we? So outside of our game, we have had some other good matchups this weekend. The New Orleans Saints won their first game of the season, 26-14 to the New York Giants. Hundo's Denver Broncos won 21-17 in Philadelphia. The reigning Super Bowl defending champions, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Colts blew out the Raiders. I mean, didn't really expect that not to happen. The Cowboys won another game against the winless New York Jets. The Panthers, they won a game against the sorry Miami team. I mean, good job, you guys. The Buccaneers pulled out another good game. They had a very good game with the Seahawks. I watched that game. Yeah, that was a very good game. To start from start to finish, injuries are still running rampant in the league. Bucky Irvin has been lost to the Bucks for another. They put him on IR, if I'm not mistaken. I think for another couple of weeks. Who else just got injured? I was thinking about. Oh, Marion Hampton from the Chargers had just been also put on IR. So the Chargers are also very depleted. As a team right now. So I mean, injuries continue to plague the league this year. So teams, speaking on the Chargers, they did lose to the Commanders, who are also very depleted because Terry McLaurin did not play yesterday. Now, Debo did wind up playing, and Jaden Daniels was back yesterday. So, I mean, I think that helped them. But I think those injuries hurt them more. And lastly, the Buffalo Bills and Colin and Hundo's guy 1-7 took an L last night to the New England Patriots, the division rival. So, yeah, fellas, an interesting weekend in Week 5. Give me any highlights or things y'all want to speak on in this week, man.
I only caught the tail end of the Broncos game. And you know, when they were up 17-3, I assumed that they were going to score again and it was going to be a blowout, but the Broncos definitely fall back. I mean, Nick Benito, that defense held y'all up because Bo was not playing a good game leading up to that. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I was kind of confused about why AJ Brown and Devonta Smith were like doing all this complaining if they were winning. And, like, watching the tail end of that game, I get it. Because Jalen was missing point blank. Like, players were wide open. So, they really need to fix that. I don't know who they have next. But I think the Broncos is a decent team. But honestly, and there's no shade, Hundo, but I think the Eagles lost that game more than the Broncos won it, in my opinion. So, that was a highlight. The other one was Baker. Man, we got to have an honest conversation about Baker. Because Baker has been cooking. And for them to go to Seattle and win that game, being down late, and I think, you know, we got to have a conversation about, you know, Emeka Abuka, because I think he's one of the elite wide receivers, especially in the rookie class. But I think Baker's turnaround has been spectacular. So, and shout out to Daniel Jones once again, 40 burger. I mean, it's looking like it's our division, so hopefully we can keep it up. JT has been good. And I think, like I told you on draft coverage, man, Tyler Warren has been the X factor for us. Like, if Daniel Jones has a safety blanket, he's a different quarterback. So, shout out to the Colts. But, yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question, though, because I heard you just say that it's y'all division, but I think the Jaguars might want to work with y'all, man. Them boys is 3-1 as well. I mean, them boys ain't sorry. And the Texans, after yesterday, them boys said they might have a spark. So, give me your thoughts, man, as y'all push into the rest of y'all, because I don't think y'all really started too much divisional play besides the Titans. So, you know, as y'all push forward and y'all play the Cardinals this upcoming weekend, do you think that, first of all, do you think the Cardinals can give y'all a test? But even looking at the rest of your divisional schedule, no. Y'all haven't started, like I said, y'all haven't played the Texans or the Jaguars yet. So with those two teams probably being next, obviously the Titans are not, next up to y'all being closest up to give y'all some trouble in the division, what are your thoughts as you push forward?
I mean, they straight, but I honestly believe that we have the most complete roster in our division, honestly. Like, Texans, I still worry about their O-line. And, you know, at wide receiver, they still are depleted. So I just don't know how that's going to translate week to week. I mean, we're going to be honest. Like, yeah, they put up 44, but y'all's roster was not the same. Like, I don't think a healthy Ravens roster, they're putting up 40 points. So I think that was fool's gold. Trevor, you know how I feel about Trevor. I think he's getting closer to average than he is elite. And, you know, obviously with Brian Thomas Jr., he's a problem. But I think in terms of their completeness as a roster, they can't match up with us. Even if we split, I still think we can win the division, honestly, because we're doing a great job out of conference winning games.
Okay. I'm not mad at it. I like what I'm seeing from the Colts. Like I said, I really want to see y'all in some more battle-tested games. And I'm trying to – I mean, outside of Pittsburgh in a couple weeks.
We beat the Broncos. You just praised the Broncos for beating the Eagles? Like, what? That wasn't battle tested.
I said more. I didn't say you haven't had any. I just said more.
Like you said,
huh?
I said the Broncos lost that game more than the Colts won that game. Yeah, just like he said about the Broncos.
Listen, all I said was more. I didn't say they hadn't faced nobody. I just said more. That's all. And then, like I said, more so within your own division. Like divisional, as you know, divisional matchups are a little bit tougher because you see them twice a year. So, like I said, when y'all face the Jags in a couple weeks, and then the Texans have had y'all number two. So it's like, I think both of those teams, y'all can get y'all their best, obviously, because their divisional matchups mean a lot, especially when it comes to playoff standing. So they trying to make the playoffs just like y'all. So it's like, you know, I feel like those are the games I'm talking about. Not even necessarily the NFL more. So I'm really more so divisional. Because, I mean, obviously, y'all going to smack the Titans. I mean, that wasn't really a foregone conclusion. They're terrible. Even their quarterback said so. So it's like, you know, I want to see y'all win, you know, more so the Texans for me. I don't know if I got to see the Jags tonight against the Chiefs to really get some, I guess, some belief in them. But for me, even though the Texans were 1-3 coming into yesterday, I still like their chances as a team just because of who their coach is and who their personnel is on the team. I still think they have a crazy defense. So I think that game will be really good. I would actually take the time to watch that game between y'all two just to see how, you know, the X's and the O's, you know, play out. So, like I said, I'm not mad at the Colts. They're 4-1 right now. They're doing a lot better than what I had predicted them to do. They're looking a lot better than what I had predicted them to look like. So, you know, shout out to y'all and the Broncos. The Broncos are, you know, Bo Nix is still not – he is who I thought he was. He is that. But that defense is absolutely stud. You got the best corner in the game in PS2. And we could say that your linebackers top 10 bare minimum in Nick Benito. So, you know, I think y'all got some guys out there that's making some good plays for y'all. So offense, I think, is obviously and has always been y'all struggle. So
coming into the season, the Broncos can go as far as Bo Nix take them. It's gonna come down to the running game.
And my Lord,
Bo Nix. JK Dobbins was running the ball yesterday. He was good on the ground.
He's proven to be a good pick for y'all.
Bo Nix turned it up in the fourth quarter. We needed it. Like Colin said, he was looking bad in first, especially the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
His numbers were bad. He was missing throws, punting the ball. We punted every drive outside of that field goal that we had, literally, before the fourth quarter.
Sheesh.
Like, we had punted on every drive.
Dang.
Outside of the field goal, we got that first drive. So,
yeah.
Offense definitely got to figure something out, man. Bo Nix got to make throws consistently. You can't miss throws. Yeah, that's going to cost you points. He made those throws in the fourth quarter. Gutsy call by Sean Payton going for two. Because had he not gone for two, it would only been a 3-point game that last drive when Philly had the ball versus a 4-point game. So that was a very good heads up call by Sean Payton going for two, and putting the Broncos in a good situation where the defense just had to hold tight and not give up a touchdown. So that was big. Shout out to the Eagles too for throwing the ball, man. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all for throwing the ball. AJ Brown,
it's crazy though. It's absolutely crazy that Philly doesn't have a pass game. I mean, you
guys, they was throwing the ball on us, bro.
Yeah, they were throwing it.
Smith was eating, bro. That man, Riley Moss, was getting cooked.
No, he was. I did see. Devontae Smith's stats was tough.
He was going fed.
But
so was AJ Brown. AJ Brown had like 35, 40 something yards in the first half.
But see, the thing is, when I watch it though, it's like, yeah, they were eating, but they couldn't connect when it mattered. Like, they were missing wide open people that could have either extended the game or it could have, you know, put the game out of reach, in my opinion. Because I watched one where Jalen Hurts, he missed A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown was literally wide open. And it's like, those you got to have. I'm sorry.
But I also saw A.J. Brown not running 100% on a route.
Also fair.
But I think he's frustrated. Because if you told me just now that he had 35 yards in the first half, he only ended the game with 43, that says something to me. If they're routing up the way that you saying that they was, like, I'm like, that those numbers don't add up to me. So,
but hey, when Jalen Hurts throw for 38, 39 times, 200 something yards.
Yeah, he did.
That's more than what he's been doing.
Oh, for sure.
So that's great when it comes to passing game.
Yeah, that's
the only thing. Only running the ball 6-8 times for 30 some yards. They wasn't running the ball.
You're right.
They came out with a mission to throw the ball.
But I think y'all put them more in that position than anything. Because I think that's never their game plan coming to a game. That's the most Jalen thrown this year.
I don't know. Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. I think y'all put them in that position, though. But they don't have to throw the ball that much.
No, I think it goes back to the fact that A.J. Brown complaining.
But he's been complaining
about last season. Ball so much.
He's been complaining about it since last season when he reading books on the sideline. Like, that's – to me, like, that wasn't new. Like
– it wasn't. It wasn't new. But it was a bigger issue than it was before. Because he came out and said what he said. And all eyes is on him.
Two questions.
Try to get the ball.
Two questions as you finish up that thought. First question is, give me off top five teams in the NFL as of we're a quarter way through the season now. Second question is Jalen Hurts the top five quarterback in the league?
I was just about to ask that, John. I was literally just about to ask that.
So we'll answer that question first, then we'll come back to the top five teams. I really want to hear what y'all think about that. Let me read off his current stats, and then y'all give y'all what y'all got to say. His current stats in the NFL, he has 889 passing yards, which is 22nd in the league. He has 7 touchdowns, which is tied for 15th in the league. No interceptions, and a QBR of 64, which is 13th in the league at this current time. And the Philadelphia Eagles are 4-1. So they'll say that outside of yesterday's loss, he has not lost any games. What are your thoughts, said ye, Colin, said ye Hundo, on Mr. Jalen Hurts? I've heard a lot of things in the media, but Dwayne Shaw has not spoken on it. So let's talk about it.
Okay, I'm a follow up with a separate question, right?
Okay.
Right now, would you rather have Jalen Hurts or Baker Mayfield?
Is my offense, but say, is my offense pass dependent? Like
what? Who else do I have on my roster?
Yeah, I you got to give me some context for that.
So I guess, like, even despite that, if you didn't have the rest of your roster filled out, if you just had to pick quarterback first, who are you picking? Like, you're building around this quarterback.
Me personally, I would probably take Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Honestly,
because he's not gonna turn the ball over. He's gonna take care of the ball. He's not gonna force nothing. He can run if needed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a good game manager,
which is what has been said about him. Now, are we looking for a game manager? We're looking for a quarterback. I feel there's a difference.
Right. And that's the problem. And so I get what you're saying, Hondo, but like I think that gunslinger mentality, it hurt Baker in Cleveland, but it's actually looking at the stats, it's helping him in Tampa Bay. Now, granted, we can talk about Emeka Buka, Godwin, and Evans, but Jalen has weapons too. And so when I'm looking at that 5-6 range where we're trying to put Jalen Hurts, I mean, Baker deserves a conversation.
I'm with you. I don't think Baker is like outside of like the top five or top. You know, I think they're in a similar range, top 10, borderline top five guys. But when it comes to like Jalen Hurts, like I think it's more schematic. I don't think it's anything against him. I think it's how Philly plays. Yeah, like, can he go out there and make the throws? And he showed it yesterday. He can make the throws. He can go out there and throw it 40 times if they wanted to. It resulted in an L. All the other games, they don't win. When he not throwing it that much. So,
yeah. That's true.
I mean,
the offense not built like that, and that's true. And that's one thing I have, you know, considered as I pondered that, like, is it Jalen Hurts or is it an Eagles thing? Because, I mean, when you got Saquon, you can run the ball 1,000 times a game, and then you can push with Jalen Hurts for another, you know, 25 yards and 10 touchdowns. It's like, how much I really need to throw, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because they used to get on Lamar about the same thing, about like him running so much and not passing as much. And he won MVPs, passing, leading the league and passing. It's like, you know, you're not going to get that award unless you are passing the ball, you know? Unless you have, you know, you got to have some even numbers, I feel like, when it comes to that. Because when Josh Allen won last year, he had a bunch of rushing touchdowns. We also had a bunch of passing touchdowns. So it's like, you got to find that balance. And I don't know if Philly has that balance, unfortunately, right now. Like Hundo said, it's either I'm going to pass the ball a lot or I'm going to run the ball a lot. And they don't necessarily have, like, a balance in Philly. Yeah, so yeah. I think that speaks more so, I feel like, to Philly when what they have going on offensively versus kind of what Jalen Hurts has going on. Now, like I said, well, Baker goes crazy in Tampa because he has, I think, pieces to do both. You know, when Bucky's healthy, him and Rashad White, pretty good tandem at running back. And then, like you just talked about, he's stable at receiver. Plus, we can't forget about his tight end, Kate Otten. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he got guys. He's a plethora of weapons, more of the weapons than he's probably had since he had Odell and Jarvis in Cleveland, you know, back in their earlier years. So, it's like, you know, and he had Nick Chubb, too. He had a crazy little stable there. And he took that team to, you know, a wild card. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I feel like Baker's had the tools. He just hasn't always been in the organizations to help him win. So now I feel like he's that organization who is – the Bucs have been super solid, obviously, since Tom Brady left. So, you know, I think I saw like 1 year after he left. But I think other than that, they've been, you know, decently solid, and especially when since Baker's been there. They just needed somebody to take the reins, and that's what he's done. And so, yeah, it's hard for me now, speaking of strictly quarterback play, to put Jalen above Baker. I think that's just really hard for you to do. Trick up quarterback play, because Baker's number, I just put up his numbers as well. Baker's has 1,283 yards, which is fourth in the league, 10 touchdowns, which is third in the league, and one interception. You know what I'm saying? So, like, with a 68.7 QBR, go ahead.
Question for y'all, though. Is it about numbers or is it about winning?
We always have this discussion. We always have the discussion because when last year we talked about MVP conversation with Lamar and Josh, it's like, okay, is it winning or is it numbers? You know what I'm saying? And so now we're back at it again. And like, but you got to look at the Bucks. The Bucks are 4-1. So they got the same record as Philly. So it's like, now you're in a situation of,
I mean, for you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're really in that kind of situation.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at it like that from there. But like, even if you go back to last season, like with Jalen Hurts, like if we had this conversation before the season even started, it was conversations about if Jalen Hurts was top five. He had just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if you don't factor in this regular season, what we've seen so far, if we'd had this conversation 5-6 weeks ago, is Jalen Hurts top five? Are you're still saying no based off his numbers, or yes because he won a Super Bowl?
It's hard, bro.
Like, I agree.
It's tough, like, man. Like
that's what I'm saying, bro. Like,
I'm not saying Jalen's not good. Go ahead, Colin. I'm gonna let you speak.
No, I think the hard thing is he's performed the best when the lights were brightest. Like, he's had two great Super Bowls. So I can't take him out of that list. But I think, to John's point, like, when we talk about game manager versus quarterback, the fact that we're having this conversation, he's what, like year six? Like, it's clear. And it's okay to be a great game manager. He's probably going to get into more Super Bowls. But I think right now what we saw with that game versus the Texans, Baker put that team on his back. And he went and won the game. And it's like, I don't see a lot of that with Jalen Hurts. So I personally will put Baker over him. And the numbers substantiate it. And I know I'm being a hypocrite because, I mean, winning does matter. But it's like, he's winning and put a team on his back. And he has the numbers.
Hey, man, yeah. I'm taking the Super Bowl winner over Baker. That's just me. I want to win a Super Bowl more than I want to put up numbers. That's just me.
I agree with that. That's a fact.
Now, if Baker put up numbers, he won a Super Bowl this year, my story might change. But he said, as a right, John, it might change. I ain't gonna lie, it might change.
Yeah,
but until it happens, I'm going with the winner.
I feel that. I'm not mad at it, bro. It's just like, you can't argue with it because it's a Super Bowl, and that's what you play the game for, right? So it's like, we talked about this last year now, and I keep bringing up Lamar and Josh because that's what we use as this barometer. But like, how much does the MVP matter when you got Super Bowl? Nobody really pressed. Like, you know, so it's like, yeah, you know, Baker may have crazy numbers and win MVP, but if Jalen go out and win the back-to-back Super Bowls, it's like, so? You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, you can have all the MVPs you want to. I'm going to keep winning rings. And it's like, what does it really come down to? Like, to Colin's point, the Eagles haven't really asked Jalen outside of, now, I ain't going to lie, in the Super Bowl, they did ask him to go out and win the game. And he did it.
Yeah.
But like, throughout the regular seasons, the past two, current and last year, it wasn't really on Jalen to go win those games. In my personal opinion, from what I've seen, it was more on Saquon going to run for 1,000 yards, which he did. You know what I'm saying? And like, he's going to handle business.
Hey, hold on.
Go ahead.
Because I've got to backtrack. Did they ask him to win that Super Bowl? Or was the defense had the best performance ever in a Super Bowl?
Like, now, we got to be honest now, Colin. Hold on. I got to pull up his numbers real quick because I'm pretty sure he had a good Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
He had.
But when you say ask him to win it, that's like, okay, I'm putting the team on my back. I think that defense,
he didn't have to do that, but
yeah, he didn't have to do that. Now
he wasn't no slouch. He didn't get carried.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like he didn't get carried.
Put up good enough numbers
for sure. Yeah. Okay. It was good enough numbers to where it was like you weren't just a part of the team. You know what I'm saying? Like some teams that Super Bowl winners, like the quarterback is just a part of the team. But like I feel
had he had 180 something yards and one touchdown or something, okay, cool. But like that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that wasn't the case for him. So I feel like he wasn't asked to beat the Chiefs by himself. But like, I feel like he did good enough job to be like, okay, Jalen Hurts deserved. I think he won Super Bowl MVP, if I'm not mistaken. So like, I feel like he deserved that based upon his performance from last Super Bowl. But I feel like the question always comes back to the fact of like, is he a game manager or is he like, you know, one of those ones? And I have to be honest, I always have an internal debate with myself because I'm like, dang, like based upon the numbers, be like, Jalen, just be, you know, hey, give me 150 yards, we win the game because defense gonna shut everybody out. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, which is cool. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you don't have to be, if you're not asked to be Superman, don't be Superman. Like Hunter always says, is know your role and excel in it. And that's what Jalen has done. He knows his role and he excels in it. Now, does it make his receivers happy? No. But
exactly, and that's where the problem comes in.
That's the problem come in, but then it's like, well, buddy, you got a ring, so like, how mad are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it really comes like, you're really squabbling with yourself internally because it's like, do I want 1,000 yard season? Or I want another ring. Like, what matters more to you? And in the moment, your receivers are going to tell you that ring matters until that. Then they got a contract negotiation come up. Then it's like, oh, well. You know,
I gotta get mine.
So it's like it's always a battle. It's always an internal struggle. I feel like we can have this conversation for a minute because it's like Jalen's one of those guys. Is like, dang, he's not a. I'm trying to think of somebody who's like really a game manager.
Well, they were saying about like Alex Smith.
Previous season. Smith. Yeah, it's a lot of guys who've been asked just to, you know, Brock Purdy. Yeah, that's a great example. Now that's getting paid to do nothing. Oh my gosh. I tell you what, that thing still got me hot. I ain't lying. Now
stop, John. Stop. Like, pay to do nothing is crazy.
What did he do?
So he had nothing to do with them going to the Super Bowl at all.
They didn't win nothing.
But they got there.
The defense was phenomenal.
He's done. You could have said Tua. Like, he's doing more than all. He's done more than Trevor.
Tua. And Trevor got paid. Yeah, with the Jags.
Dak got paid too.
Hey, now Dak is a whole different story because you know that's literally a whole different story. We can talk about that for a little minute. I think my issue with Brock Purdy was and still is, is that he got a copious amount of money. It was something insane. I don't even remember what the numbers were, but it was like something upwards like $250 million. And I just feel like, in my personal humble opinion, now I'm just John from the Winning Shot podcast, so you know, my opinion may not be up there with the big dogs ESPN. However, Mr. NFL execs, I feel like you pay that kind of money in hopes and prayers that this person that you're paying does not, and I think this is where the Jalen Hurts part comes in, because you pay that kind of money hoping that this guy, when called upon, can lead the team if they're down. Right now, to Colin's point, Trevor's gotten paid and hasn't shown he can do that. Tua's gotten paid, hasn't shown he can do that. Like, so you know, we have quarterbacks that Brock has made his point off of. Like, hey, these guys haven't done it either, and I've done a little bit more with a little bit, blah, 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 blah. But I just feel like I could have waited, got somebody else, and to the point that the Mac Jones just won against the Rams last week. While Brock was out.
I got mine.
He got his. I'm just saying, like, I just feel like Brock when I think of $250 million.
They could have saved some money.
They could have saved some bread, man. I'm all about being efficient and being economical. And I don't know if that was a smart investment in the San Francisco 49ers future. Now, they have been in a quarterback market for a long time. They've been in a quarterback market for a long time, honestly, since Colin Kaepernick left. Honestly, they really haven't had a stable quarterback since then. So it's just like, you know, they've been trying to find somebody, and I guess they kind of, in my personal opinion, now San Fran fans, don't try to tussle me in the comments. But in my personal opinion, Brock wasn't the guy to spend that kind of money on. To me, he just hasn't shown it. And if there's any other quarterback, I would say the same. And I know you have people going to argue me down in the comments, and I hope that y'all are ready to argue back with me, because I have numbers and things to prove this. I just don't – there's a reason the man was a seventh-round pick. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't he the last pick of the draft?
Yeah.
And he was solid with
Iowa State. With
Breece Hall at Iowa State. He was at Iowa State, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback, bro. Like, if that same barometer you can use with a lot of other quarterbacks in the league. And I think the
who's getting paid that kind of money with that kind of team, though, Colin? That's my thing. Like, for me, like, he got paid because everybody else around him. It wasn't so much him. And I said this before. He got paid because everybody else around him. More so, you're looking at, I'll give you Josh. Josh got paid because of Josh. Josh get paid. Patrick got paid because of Patrick. You know what I'm saying? Like, we talk about who making that kind of bread. Those guys getting paid because of them. Like, to me, Brock got paid because of Debo, Cal.
If that's what the quarterback market is, John.
Yeah, man. Like, we gotta be honest. It's a free market.
Like that, like that's the bar.
I hear that, but we can go below the bar.
What's the alternative? You traded up for Trey Lance. He was sorry. Who are you going to replace me with?
I can't speak to what the Brash does with their GM picks. Now, that's not for me, because in that same – who was in that class with him that else could also have gotten in that division? I just feel like
– Wasn't Mac in that class?
Huh?
Wasn't Mac Johnson in that class? Or am I tripping?
I don't know.
Wait, with Brock Purdy?
No, I was talking about Trey Lance.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, that was like the Zach Wilson,
Justin Fields.
Justin maybe? Fields, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mac was in that class, number 15.
Yeah, it hasn't been a lot of good quarterback classes in the past 5 to 7, honestly. So, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. Me personally, like I said, I just don't know if I spent that money. But I don't get paid to make those kind of decisions. So that's just the me opinion. That's all I'm saying. And I got to pull some numbers. Well, that's another discussion. Well, let's keep
okay. So, question. This is Bahunda.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Broncos should play Bo Nix based on what you've seen thus far? The sample says, like, is he a top? Should he get top money?
No. But if that's what the market says, I mean, we gotta pay him.
John, that was easy. We're gonna have an argument.
Nah, bro. Bro, I've told you, bro. This man misses throws, bro. Wide open people, bro. He overthrowing it, bro. No. But I mean, if that's what the market says, we think he's the future, we gotta pay him that. But I also think we got to get some more weapons around him.
Mm-hmm.
A true number two receiver if we're going to keep Sutton.
Yeah, I think to that point, like when I saw him yesterday, I was just like, this is not a franchise quarterback. And granted,
I feel like he could be like a Jalen Hurts type game manager type situation, but we don't have the pieces around him yet. Everybody don't have to be a superstar, you know, top of the line guy
to get $260 million.
Hey,
it's crazy.
Hey, what I'm saying is sometimes is you got to know your role. Don't turn the ball over. Take care of the ball. Make throws when you need to make throws. Run the ball. Win games. But if the market says I got to pay you $60 million for that, I might not want to do it, but I'm going to have to do it.
586 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Yeah.
67.4 QBR. That's $250 million.
Bro, if it leads the wins, and that's what the market says.
And that's the argument Brock made. Yeah. Brock said we're winning.
Those are Brock's stats. That's I don't know, man. I struggle with it because, and like I said, I'm beating a dead horse because I done said this again. But when I'm talking about that kind of money to my franchise, you just franchise quarterback.
Okay, but like, how much should he get paid as a quarterback? Like, let's be realistic here. As a starting quarterback that got your team to the Super Bowl, even if you don't put up the best numbers, what should he get paid?
That's a fact.
But that's my argument, though, Hundo. Are you getting to Super Bowl or is your team good enough and anybody could have done that? That's my whole argument.
I think that's
okay, but still, though, okay, but still, how much are you paying him? How much are you paying him?
My argument based on your argument.
Based on your argument, how much are you paying him? How much are you paying Brock Purdy?
30.
There's no way. Because John, you got to think about, like, if I'm making
money, go look at them quarterbacks who getting $30 million.
Right.
I don't care who they are. That's the field that I put him in because I don't think he. When I think about people making crazy amounts of money and what they're being asked to do.
So you don't like that Tua got paid. You don't like that Trevor got paid. You don't like that Jack got paid.
No, I said all of this. My opinion is not who should get paid.
Lamar, Josh,
Pat, Joe. Those guys.
What about Herbert?
Herbo can get paid. Those guys, for me, those guys are worth paying. Those guys are worth paying that kind of money to.
So what about Jalen Hurts? No.
Jalen Hurts at that time, his deal.
Jay, he about to say some BS. He can't even think.
I'm trying to think what his number was. He got paid what he hit 5,250.
Jalen Hurts is getting 51 a year.
51?
Yeah. The total value is 255.
So that's too much, John?
It's a little bit too much for Jalen. That's a little bit too much for Jalen. I ain't lying. But I'm consistent in this, bro. Like, that kind of money, you're the highest paid person on the team, clearly, right? So, like, I'm expecting something from you.
That's not as an agent and as Brock Purdy, when they're going to the room, he's making around the same money as Tua, Trevor, Justin, and Jared Goff. That is his tier.
And Jared should be getting paid more. If I'm Jared, I'm going back to the table. I should be included in that list with them.
But you can make the same argument about Jared. Jared has had a stacked roster.
But I feel like Jared's a better quarterback than Brock Purdy. Would you agree?
I think they're about the same, bro.
You putting Brock Purdy in Detroit, you think they winning the same games? I don't agree with that.
With that roster last year with Ben Johnson? Yes.
I don't agree with that, bro. That's my thing. If that's the case, then Brock once again gets paid because of the roster that's around him. I don't think it's Brock getting paid.
My point.
If you're getting paid, get paid for your own merit. You know, they get paid. Everyone else getting them paid versus them getting paid. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Now, once again, brothers in the NFL, I'm not trying to take it from y'all paychecks. Y'all got it now. You done got your bread, and I ain't hating. I ain't doing none of that. I'm just saying, I wouldn't pay you that much money for you to still put at the table, because ain't no way you about to tell me that's your value. That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't have paid it. And I big assisted. I told you who I would have paid and who I wouldn't have paid.
But I think it goes back to winning too, though. Like, I think winning is a part of that. Had Brock Purdy not won those games that he did, regardless if he won it or if the people around him won it, he probably wouldn't have got paid that much.
Yeah. And you got to think about the leverage, bro. You said it was the roster and the time that they were negotiating. They still had Super Bowl aspirations. So if he sits and holds out, they're not going to be able to do that, because we've seen what life looks like without a quarterback, with, you know, the year that everybody got hurt and they had to bring in the Joshua Dobbs. Like, we've seen, like, other quarterbacks that they brought in hasn't been good. So he had the leverage.
He did. And that's what I'm saying. It worked in his favor. But with me personally, he would have had to show me some. I'm not banking off that, bro. I'm okay with standing alone on that. It's okay. Like, I just wouldn't have paid him that bread. That's all. I would have paid him, just not that bread.
Well, we're going to see who the next group of quarterbacks is that's going to get paid.
Yeah, we are. That's what I'm saying. It's time. Somebody's coming up on a big contract. I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe Baker just got a contract from
Tampa Bay. CJ, probably.
Yeah, but it's CJ.
Where is CJ in that group now? Because everybody had high hopes for CJ after that first year.
CJ going to have a crazy year this year for him to get paid. I'm saying that right now.
He's getting at least 50.
Jordan Love, is he up
there? You already got paid.
He got his. CJ going to get paid. I'm say this on the podcast live. I'm always for the black man getting his money. I'm always support the black man getting his money. That's just where I am with it. He deserved to get his money. I'm gonna say that live and direct. I'm gonna be honest with you. Especially when he's a good black man, and CJ Stroud is a good black man.
Hey, after he said Jalen Hurts shouldn't be getting that much.
Listen, hold on. That much and not getting paid, two different things now, bro. Don't try to put words in my mouth. I ain't say he shouldn't have got paid. I said a little bit less. That's all.
Don't try to take no money from that man's pockets.
Hey, he got, like I said, he got it now. All right, you got it, big dog. I ain't tripping. So I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it.
Unfortunately, I mean.
Hey, unfortunately.
You tried to stay low too.
Unfortunately.
Golly.
Because I mean, I think the same argument, like, he has not had a good year this year. So I just don't see it. Like, I guess the alternative is you go back to purgatory if you're the Texans, but I mean, him and Trevor, I mean, I guess what he's saying is if Trevor got paid this much, I'm surely going to get at least 55. So I don't know. I told you, I wasn't a big fan. Like, and some of that, honestly, if I'm CJ, some of that too is, okay, you traded away Laramie. You didn't replace any help on the offensive line. I'm running for my life. So yeah. I will give him that.
That's facts. That's facts. That's a fact. I can't even talk about that. That's true.
You better get up out of there. That's what you better do. Gonna be running again next year.
Facts. And then the year after that. Let's talk about some of these college games though.
Yeah, let's talk about college. I want to start with, I had this conversation with one of my coworkers at work. He's an Ohio State fan. The conversation we were having was about Penn State. Now, early in this podcast season, me and Kundo had a discussion, and Colin was here too. I said Penn State wasn't going to be where they were. They were number two in the country, I think, at that time. I said they weren't going to end the season there. And they've shown me. They are not. They are who I thought that they were, for sure. Now, I will say that they had a very close game with Oregon a couple weeks ago. And honestly, people want to blame James Franklin for that loss, but that loss was as much on Drew Aller as it was on James Franklin. But last week's loss to UCLA, I don't know to put that loss on. But I just think that, Penn State was one of those teams that came into the season hot, but I personally just wasn't as high on them. And there were some guys I was very high on. I told you, we talked about this, I know, DJ Lagway. I was high on Cade Klubnik. I was high on Arch Manning. And those guys have let me down, most of them, pretty much all of them. There were some guys that I was high on that just haven't panned out. And Drew Aller wasn't one of them. He also has not panned out. So, I just feel like in that conference, do y'all think it's time for James Franklin to head out of Penn State? Or y'all think they give him another year?
I mean, I think it's time. I will see with this Ohio State game because they can easily beat Ohio State, win out, and still make the playoff, in my opinion. But I think it's just we've reached the end of this James Franklin story when it comes to Penn State. Like, he just can't win the big one. And I just think both sides need to change the scenery.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. Like Colin said, he got to be able to win them big games when it matter. They still got a shot. They can win out, hopefully. But big if. We're going to see. But it wouldn't surprise me if he's gone.
Sticking within that Big Ten conference, looking at Oregon and Ohio State, who are the top two teams in that conference currently, how do y'all feel about those two teams with Dante Moore leading Oregon? And then I think they got Jalen Sayin leading Ohio State right now. Of course, you still got Jeremiah Smith and those guys out there as well. So how y'all feeling about those two teams as they won't play each other until the Big Ten championship, if all continues to go as planned? And the rest of their opponents and just the season overall and how you've looked at them. If y'all have kind of paid attention to that, what are y'all thoughts on them?
Me personally, I think Oregon has the best team in the conference. I like what I saw versus Penn State. I think Dante Moore, you could argue that he's the best quarterback in the conference. I think Ohio State, people say, they played against number two Texas at the beginning of the season, but that doesn't look like a good win now that you see in Texas, drop the ball. So I would like to see them versus better competition. Like you said, we won't see Ohio State, Oregon until later on. But I think in terms of being battle tested and ready, Oregon is a much better team than Ohio State right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can see that, brother. I think that for me, just because they got Jeremiah Smith, I think I can't take away from and what Jeremiah Smith did to Oregon last year. I remember that, watching that. He was crazy on them boys last year. So, I think the issue for me now becomes, can this quarterback that Ohio State has, Mr. Julian, I think his name is Julian Sand, can he lead them to where they were last year, right? And I think that will be shown, as we get closer to the end of this year. But it's definitely going to be very interesting to me because, as you can see, Ohio State's still dominating teams. I was looking at their schedule today. They don't really have too many more tests. They have a, Illinois team this weekend that's top 25. Then they play Michigan in the season off. And so those two games will show me a lot, before they get to the Oregon game. And should they come out victorious with both of them, I think they have a very good chance to beat Oregon. Now, Oregon, once again, like you said, I think it's a very good team, very good quarterback. Defensively, they have a lot of good guys that are schematically very good. So I'm excited to kind of see how it pushes forward for them. So I think that, yeah, Oregon could be the best team in the conference, but unless Jeremiah Smith gets shut down some way, somehow, I got to keep him on the radar. So,
yeah. How do you feel about the Texas Florida game? Like, what is your stance on Texas and against in the SEC? Who do you have winning?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I watched that game, bro, and I saw the Florida come out the way that they did. Now, like I said, coming through the season, I had Florida very ranked kind of highly in regards to the team that they were. And as well as, you know, I thought DJ Lagway was going to be kind of one of those ones. Now, he's kind of, you know, been back and forth. Now, he had a good game against Texas. And I'm pulling up the stats now just to confirm some things I was thinking about. But, you know, I was very impressed by the way that Florida came out in that game with the offensively and defensively. I think they had a lot to play for. You know, they've been talked about a lot in the media, as you can imagine, with the way that they were and the people that they came in with this season. And so for them to come out against that Texas team who is honestly still trying to find themselves at this time, it's crazy to me. They still rank number 9 in the country, 3-2 now. So, you know, I guess they were 2-3 before that game. But, you know, like I said, DJ Lagway came out for 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns and a pick, 21 for 28. Jordan Ball went crazy. Jaden Ball, 27 carries for 107 and a tud. And then Dallas Wilson. I know all these guys love playing on NCAA. So it's like I feel like a proud video game owner, creator, who watching these guys who have, you know, done crazy things in the game and do things in real life as well. Yeah, came out really strong in that game. Now looking at the rest of the season, it's still the SEC for Texas, right? I mean, so it doesn't get any easier. Looking at the rest of their schedule now, they play Oklahoma this week. In Texas, that's gonna be another big game for them. Oklahoma comes in undefeated. So that's another huge test. Can Arch live up to the hype? Once again, I think that's the question everybody's asking every single week. Can Arch live up to the hype? Now, there were some times in that Florida game, he could have made some better decisions. So, you know, it's going to be time to put up or shut up after a while, right? And like I said, if you don't make the SEC championship, which if they don't win out, essentially they probably are in contention of not making it because you got Alabama creeping up. You got A&M, who's also undefeated. Once again, you got Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's the SEC
number
now?
6.
Are they SEC now?
Yep.
Yes. I mean, like, you got these teams in the conference now who are just not, of course, you can't forget about Georgia, obviously, who they also play later in the season. So Vanderbilt, who they also play a little bit later on down the season.
I was about to say,
It's not sweet for them boys at all. It's not. So, like, they're going to get everybody's best shot. And so they got to bring it. They got to bring it each and every week. So I don't know, man. I'm not sold on Texas yet. They got some great players, offensively and defensively, but I'm not really sold on them as a unit like I was last year.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, like, what's your thoughts about Arch? Like, do you think, based on what you're seeing right now, like, obviously the hype, everybody had him going to number one pick this at the beginning of the season, but he made some decent throws versus Florida. I have to give him his credit, but I think a lot of that is his old line. But in terms of the translation to the league, like, do you think he needs to stay another year? Like, what do you think that, you know, him as a quarterback is right now?
Based upon right now, I definitely say I'd wait one more year if I was Arch. I just think he's kind of hurt some of his drafts, like the way he's played now. Now, once again, I think that goes back to me saying, if he comes out the rest of the season and, like, flips the switch and goes crazy, I think his drafts, like, immediately spikes up just off of his play and his name. You know what I'm saying? So I think I'm one of those strike by the iron hot kind of guys. So if he finishes off hot, I'll go ahead and go. Because I don't want to risk you being in a situation where you come back, get hurt, come back, have a bad season, and you end off the season, you know, crazy. And then, you know, take him to a playoff game and you maybe get to the semis. You know, I leave if I march. But, you know, he may want to take another year and develop. But currently, right now, today, stay another year for sure. Now, did he have some crazy throws in that game against Florida? Yeah, he did. But am I seeing consistent what I need to see from what I'm thinking to be a top 5 quarterback coming out of the draft next year? No.
Who are your top 5 teams right now? Your top 5 teams in college football?
In college football? Had discussion. I'm going to put Ohio State up there. Oregon. Miami. We got to talk about Miami a little bit as well. For me, I think I'm going to go ahead and put Alabama back up there, bro. I like what I'm saying for now. I know they sneaky. and they weren't who people would be picking right now. But I'm putting Alabama back up there, and then I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go Texas A&M. It's a team between them and Ole Miss. I'm gonna go A&M.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. So I'm gonna go Miami. Okay. The one. I'm gonna go Oregon 2.
Okay.
3 is gonna be Ohio State for me. 4. I'm gonna go Bama. I think in terms of team wise, I think Bama is the top 5 team. And 5, I want to put Texas A&M, but low key, I mean, I feel like Ole Miss deserves a conversation.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure,
undefeated. Yeah, I'm gonna go Ole Miss 5.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. I think it's a good top 5, bro. And like I said, for me, I Texas A&M has really surprised me, honestly. Now Marcel Reed and them boys, they've been hooping. And so as we move late into the season, we get some more tougher matchups. And like I said, they're in the SEC. So we're only going to see good football from them, or have to see it, because that's what that conference requires. So, you know, when you have that kind of stuff going on, it's just going to be like, well, you know, what happens best? So it's going to be very interesting to kind of see as they push forward, how can they continue on that run? And if they can continue on that run, will Ole Miss continue on that run? I think they had a big catalyst last week because – of the LSU game, and you know, that talk between Lane Kiffin's daughter dating the LSU linebacker and all that stuff like that. So, like, you know, that puts the extra batteries in some guys' back. And then maybe it was just, you know, fun jousting back and forth, but I still think it had a little bit to do with it as well. So it's been very interesting to see how they push forward going back and forth, man. I'm excited to see it.
Do you think Clemson can turn it around?
They gotta make some changes. I don't know. I'm not completely sold. Like I told our boys earlier, I think, you know, last week was Chapel Hill. Like, it's one of those games, like, if you didn't win that, yeah, somebody needs to get fired immediately. But I'm still not 100% sold. Like, they still have some plays. I was like, now, you know, did they have some good plays? Yeah, they did, you know, but we got, I didn't even look at the schedule. I didn't really stop following the schedule because I'm just like, bro, y'all have been, y'all been making my heart hurt because of the way I've been playing this year. So I need to really be keeping up with them boys outside of the first couple of games. I'm trying to see if we play next week. Hold on.
Dog. Boston College.
Yeah. See, we should be able to beat Boston College. So I don't think we have another big test until we play. Let's see. Let me pull up the schedule. Excuse me. We SMU the week after that. That I think would probably be tough. They come to. And then Duke may give us some issues. And then, of course, we got Florida State. Florida State just lost big to Miami. But, I mean, still Florida State. They came into the season very tough. So, I think we definitely got some games we should win, for sure. But I got to see how we push. I think, realistically, we have one more L left in us. Realistically, we got one more L left in us. I don't know if we go 9-3 to end the season off. It would be great. But I think we got, realistically, one of these teams is probably going to catch us lacking, unfortunately.
Well, I think y'all have one more in the ACC, and I don't think y'all be in South Carolina.
Oh, we got to be South Carolina. I talk too much trash not to be South Carolina. But no, South Carolina is very good. But it depends on how they come out. Because, I mean, they got a very, once again, they're an SEC team. So they got LSU this week, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Back to back to back to back. That's a gauntlet. That is a gauntlet. So they may come into that game crushed, literally and figuratively speaking. So that may work out in our advantage to help beat them towards the end of this season. That's why I'm giving us that edge. That 5-game stretch, they might not win none of them games. I ain't gonna lie to you. They really might go 0-5 the next 5, bro. I am not lying to you. Them teams, they facing all top 15. That is crazy.
That's a fact.
Shoot, forget top 15, top 11, because LSU is the highest one at 11 they playing this week. And they got to go to LSU. God bless them. God bless them. With some L's. So, yeah. We're going to see, man. What a time in the NFL and the college space, man. I know Hunter had to step off for a little while. We're going to briefly just talk about the W. But, you know, right now we're in the WNBA Finals, and the Aces are currently up 2-0 on the Phoenix Mercury. And that series has been what I expected it to be. In the first game, they came out swinging. Both teams came out very strong. A lot of good hoops in that first game. Game two, me and Hunter were the only ones that picked the Aces to win in that game. And so, you know, shout out to me and Hundo, because we know we, you know, I had a feeling. I just had a feeling Asia and them was going to go crazy. And shout out Jackie Young, because she went absolutely fed game two. And so I think that kind of led to, there you go. Yeah, sometimes you got to talk sports to just talk Hundo up. You're like a genie. So, you know, I think that that led to, obviously, that catalyst of them winning that game heavily. But Hundo, what were your thoughts as we were just talking on, you know, the W and we're two games in now? Let me ask you this. Give me your thoughts on that last game, and do you think that now, being that the series is 2-0, will it be a sweep?
I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I don't see Phoenix just laying down like that.
Yeah.
AT a dog. She gonna try to wheel them as far as she can. But as far as game two, like you said, Jackie, outstanding game, especially after not showing up in game one. I think she only had like 10 points in game one. But in game one, we saw Dana Evans and Jewel Loyd go crazy off the bench. So that was good to see some role players step up for the Aces. But I truly think that we saw the best of Phoenix in game one. Both games have been close, but I feel like you getting what you're going to get from Phoenix. Yep. Like I just said, Dana Evans, Jewel Loyd had a great game one. Jackie Young did not have a great game one. But she turned it around in game two. Chelsea Gray had a great game too. Asia Wilson, great in both games. So the stars have come to play on both teams pretty much. Kai's been on fire. Hey, Kai's been killing
tough.
It.
Tough.
I don't know what Jackie Young been doing, but she need to pick it up on defense.
Yeah, man.
Kai's going crazy.
Definitely a thing.
So if Satu can knock down some of them threes, I think she was like 1-for-8 from three last game. Mm-hmm. That could change it a little bit. AT knockdown, you know, as we talked about before, she had that free throw. That changed the game. Yeah. So we're going to see, but I don't think they're going to lay down. But definitely a good start for Vegas protecting home court. We're going to see what happened in Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a sweep either. Looking at it, I think that they're going to put up some fight, man. I just, like you said, I don't see Phoenix laying down. They're going to win at least one game. I think I originally said Aces in five, and I'm going to stick to that right now. It's the first seven-game series that I know me have talked about before in NBA history, WNBA history, excuse me. And so, you know, I think they want to get their money's worth. But it ain't going seven. I don't think it's going six either. Not the way it's looking. I think after they make it the first one in Phoenix, you know, home crowd behind them, all that stuff like that. But game, we get the game four. Aces will be back, settled in, get that win, then go in, win it back at the crib. So, you know, been a great season, been a great series. But, man, Aces, crazy comeback story. You know, winning, what, 16, 17 games in a row? Something crazy like that, you know, after losing a lot. So,
yeah. Who is Asia competing against in terms of, like, that GOAT status? And what's the argument now for her? Because I feel like if she gets another finals MVP, she has to be in the conversation.
I agree. I was saying this yesterday in the chat. I feel like, I mean, Asia's right there. You got four MVPs, most MVPs in W history. I mean, you about to win your third championship and third finals MVP should, you know, when they do win that. And so, I mean, are we comparing rings at this point? Are we just comparing the amount of rings? Because, I mean, I feel like the MVP kind of outweighs, you know, I think that puts another level on her herself because nobody's ever won four. So it's like, you know, I don't know who she's competing with. I think just longevity-wise, people are just going to talk about people she may have has played as long, but she did a lot in a little bit of time. She bought, you know, a brand new Aces team when she got drafted in, what, 17, 18, back to, you know, not back to, but to prominence. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't really happen all the time with new teams. Not a Valkyrie or an outlier. But we have a lot of teams who've been, you know, good in the league historically and we're just not good anymore. But Asia's been consistently good with this team. Like, it hasn't been too many, if any, down years in Vegas since she's been there. So it's like, yeah. I don't know how you don't put her almost at GOAT. And I'm trying to think of who, outside of Maya, who Diana is like,
Maya, yeah, Candace.
Sue Bird.
Candace, Sue. But I mean, how many ships did Kansas win? She won four?
Nah, she won three. One with Chicago, one with Vegas, and one with the Sparks.
Yeah, I remember the one with Vegas and Chicago. I didn't remember. Okay, I remember the Sparks one. Okay. So, I mean, this will give Asia three. And I'm like, I feel like Candace will probably be her closest competitor right now. Like you said, DT, she up there. But DT won, what, three, four ships, I think, right? Two?
Yeah. She didn't win that many, but she just longevity.
Yeah, longevity, I think that's the thing. But like I said, Asia's got four MVPs, and nobody has that. Like, she has something nobody else already has. So it's like, she already put herself above a lot of people with that alone, outside of the rings. So, like,
four, I want to say, because them links seems crazy.
Yeah, the links seems so crazy. And Maya was crippled. So, I mean, like, right now, it's just Maya. To me, like, yeah, DC got longevity, but MVP-wise, and I feel like that puts her above everybody else, in my personal opinion. So, yeah, I think she's just chasing Maya right now. And she get one more ring, and she the GOAT. That's my personal opinion. Or MVP. Either one, she's the GOAT.
Yeah, I will put DT and Sue Bird up there as far as like who she's competing against. But the only thing she can add is championships.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's literally all she can do to add to her resume is win more championships, continue to win championships.
Yep.
This will be crazy because, like John said, like this season like was supposed to be considered a down year for the Aces. Like they were really down bad. Like they were in like seventh or eighth place in the standings before they went on that crazy win streak. So if they win it this year, like this is almost like LeBron winning that championship with Cleveland, or you know, going to the bubble and getting that championship with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Like this is gonna be big for Asia to get this championship this year.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, after they get this championship, conversation might be very different. Mm-hmm. That conversation might be very different when we're talking about GOATs.
I'm telling you.
She's right up there for sure. She only 29, bro. She only 29.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. Yeah.
If she keep playing at this high level for about four or five, if she can do it for four or five more years, she definitely to go easily.
Oh, easily.
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 No ifs, ands, or buts about it, for sure. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I just, like I said, she's just been doing too much in a short amount of time. Like, yeah, the young players coming in, like, can't really match it. Like, I don't see no young players coming in the past since Asia got drafted that's doing anything remotely close to what she's done. Remotely close. And she came in and immediately was top player in the league. Like, I remember when she got drafted and everybody was, you know, she came in immediately was got straight to it. Straight to work. And, like, we've had players come in. Yeah, you've had in the past couple of years, you've had, you know, AB. You know, those kind of players. But, like, none of them are touching Asia. Not even close. They're not even sniffing her air right now. Like, Even when they play against her, like you can see, it's clearly a difference. Like I'm really just built differently, and so we're really watching. This is one of us having an opportunity to watch a real like GOAT come from start to whenever she decides to end her career. Like we had the opportunity to watch that from then to then. So, yeah.
So I think it's okay. So my next question is collectively, like even considering, I'm sure she has a couple of gold medals. I assume, right, Hundo?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Factoring in college, Olympics, WNBA, where do you put her on top athletes?
I mean, she's won at every level, bro.
We talking about women's basketball?
Just in general. I mean, you could put, like I'm saying, the same argument we have like with Serena and all them. But what is she on that list?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Not yet.
Because I think like, you gotta factor in the winning, bro. Like, yeah, she got what two championships at the WNBA level, championship in college, couple gold medals. I don't know if she won a state high school championship, but
I don't know about that either. I feel like she did.
You got to think too, though. Like them UConn teams, like
yeah, they were
Brianna Stewart.
They was getting busy.
Maya Moore, like they won multiple.
Oh yeah, that's true. My bad, Maya.
Asia only got one in college, but I think she just got to keep winning more to be on that list. But as far as like basketball, if we're just looking at strictly basketball, she's up there.
Yeah,
she's up there.
Cool. Agreed, for sure. So, yeah, man. I ain't got nothing else to speak on this episode, man. We don't have to, you know, a plethora of topics that we discussed in women's sports, college basketball. We talked about WNBA. We done talked about NFL and college football. So I'm talked out, fellas. I ain't gonna hold y'all. I think we done had a great discussion. Great discussion. Great discussion. Anything else that y'all want to talk about this evening, though?
Like you said, yeah, NBA coming up. College basketball right around the corner. Preseason started. So.
Speaking on that now, we did hear an announcement today. Not an announcement. We saw our promo today from LeGoat James, Mr. LeBron James. That said, tomorrow at 12 p.m., he will be dropping major news. So we may be back tomorrow, depending on what LeBron says tomorrow at 12 o'clock, to have a special episode, potentially.
The street saying it might be an Amazon Prime ad.
Boy, people gonna be hot.
Or like you said, or might be breaking news.
Might be breaking news. We don't know yet.
But like what I'm trying to think. It couldn't be a trade, like
not a trade, but I mean
bro, retirement, bro. He's 40, bro.
Yeah, he's 40,
he's not retiring, bro. He's not. Stop.
I think he
Brian, got. I mean, he might announce that this is his last season or something.
Yeah,
he could definitely do something like that
for sure. Unless Bronny coming out this year.
This man acting like he unamused, like bro, like we about to lose a GOAT, bro.
Yeah, you about to lose you're losing the face of basketball, literally.
Brian got about 2 or 3 more years in him.
I think that's the whole thing.
I just want to see what Colin gonna say if LeBron announced that he retiring tomorrow.
Even if he announces it, I still don't believe it. I still don't believe it. Even if he announces it,
you think he'll retire for real?
LeBron is a liar.
Word, he called LeBron a liar.
he said LeBron is a liar. I'm not believing anything he says.
Word, he said he capped out.
Because I mean, if they go on let's say they go to the Western Conference Finals. I definitely could see Brian running that back next year. So it just, no. It's not his last year.
I don't know, man. It might be out. It might be time for old GOAT James to hang it on up. It might be time. But we're going to see. Like I said, we'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow what happens. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate y'all tapping into the Winning Shot podcast. I know this is a longer episode, so if you really tapped in and still here with us right now, we really appreciate you. Continue to tap in with the guys on the Substack. They're dropping articles. Like they say, NBA is back. College will be back very soon if it's not already back. So I know Colin will be very, very, very biased to his Chapel Hill Tar Heels very soon. Hundo will also be back with his continued articles on the NBA as well as the W as well. So I'll tap in with them on Substack. We're also going to be dropping some small snippets and videos here on the Winning Shot Pod YouTube. We're gonna be dropping some more things back on Instagram and TikTok again. It's been a little minute, so we're gonna get back on that too. So we appreciate y'all, all that y'all do. If y'all got any questions, y'all got anything y'all want us to chop it up about, if y'all want to chop it up with us, let us know. If you ever send us a little DM, say, hey, y'all chop it up, how y'all feel about this, how y'all feel about that, put it in the comments. I promise I'm responding back to you. If nobody else do, I promise you I will. So I love debating with y'all, love talking with y'all just about random things. So keeping that engagement up. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. We cannot wait until the next appointed time that we are here. So y'all stay blessed and stay up. Peace.
Peace.